The continuing labor shortage in Wisconsin has gotten a lot of attention, and part of the problem is that many workers are feeling stretched thin between work and their role as family caregivers. According to a new report, about 1 in 4 working adults in Wisconsin are adult caregivers, meaning they provide care or financial assistance to either an older family member, an adult relative with a disability, or maybe a spouse with a long-term illness. In a survey, Wisconsin family caregivers say that caregiving is having a big impact on their work and personal lives. Our next guests say there's good news. There's a lot of assistance and resources out there, and they're hoping to spread the word to caregivers and to their employers. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are we talking about you? Do you provide family care, maybe for a loved one with a disability, a senior in your family, you name it? Are you also working part or full-time in a job in addition to that? How are you managing it? How are you juggling it? Have you found help out there from one source or another? And how does your employer work with you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Lynn Gall is Family Caregiver Support Programs Manager with the Wisconsin Department of Health Services Bureau of Aging and Disability Resources. Lynn, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for inviting us.
And Harriet Redmond is Executive Director of WisconsIBS and a co-chair, along with Lynn, of the Employer Engagement Work Group with the Wisconsin Family and Caregiver Support Alliance. Harriet, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Rob.
Lynn, I'll start with you. Can you tell us a little bit about what the Wisconsin Family and Caregiver Support Alliance does?
The Wisconsin Family and Caregiver Support Alliance was formed to address the needs of family, really any family member or a friend who provides ongoing care to someone at home. Our mission is really to improve resource coordination, increase access to supports, and to sustain Wisconsin families into the future.
And I gave some examples. Can you talk about what we mean by family caregiving? Now, we're not talking about, you know, a parent of kids in this category, though they may also be that, I guess.
Right. When we did this survey, we did define them as what we would consider to be outside of the traditional child rearing arena. This is really that in addition to raising children without a disability, this is caring for a family member, a friend, or it could be a young child or an adult child who has a disability that someone continues to care for years after, like another child might have left home already.
Mm-hmm. And Harriet, there's a survey now of people who are providing this kind of care here in Wisconsin. What stood out to you about how caregiving affected their work lives and how they balance that with their personal needs?
Well, the big learning from the report was almost 8 out of 10 caregivers report having their work life interrupted. And that could be interrupted by phone calls. That could be interrupted by needing to take a parent or a spouse or a child with a disability to an appointment, therapy or medical. And often those are right in the middle of the day when workers are trying to be their most productive. They also have to, provide caregiving services in those prime time hours as well.
And Harriet, is it to the point for some people where they think, you know, maybe I can't sustain a job or at least a full-time job while I'm trying to do this caregiving as well?
It is. For 56% of the caregivers that were in the study reported they didn't feel that their caregiving and balancing that with work was sustainable. So they had been using tools such as rearranging their work schedule or maybe leaving or arriving at work a little earlier, a little later, even missing days of work, cutting their hours. Those are all things that they use. Those are tools that they use, but still find it can be very unsustainable and have to consider whether they continue to work or not.
We are talking about caregivers in Wisconsin, people caring for loved ones in their lives, maybe with a disability or a long-term illness, and how they balance that with their work lives. 1 in 4 adult workers in Wisconsin are doing at least some of this kind of caregiving. We have Lynn Gall and Harriet Redmond with us. They're part of a survey, and they're part of the Wisconsin Family and Caregiver Support Alliance. You could join in if you have a story to share at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring a caller on now. Elizabeth is with us in Neenah. Elizabeth, hi.
Hi there.
What did you want to tell us about Elizabeth?
Driving home from work early because 56 has autism and he receives care services from an agency. But like many companies, the agency is having trouble recruiting enough staff. And so today I'm going home early and I'll be taking 2 days vacation, one day tomorrow and one day on Monday to cover that kind of challenge. And so I'm living exactly what Harriet was just describing.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for sharing that story with us. Elizabeth points out another problem here, that workforce shortage is affecting caregiving as well, putting more stress on people like Elizabeth.
Right.
Well, I can speak to that very personally.
Oh, sure, go ahead.
Because I'm in the same boat.
Okay.
I care for an adult child who has a disability, and I'm working from home today because a lack of caregivers, especially, it has been a problem, but especially now since COVID, the caregiving crisis has been even greater. So we have to balance how we manage our work and our caregiving.
Elizabeth, thanks a lot for sharing that story with us. Lynn, part of what you're doing in the survey is to highlight the concerns people have. I know you're hoping to point people toward resources as well. What kind of help might be out there for Elizabeth or other people in her position?
You're right. Part of the reason we did this survey was because we think that one characteristic of the workforce shortage that we're seeing right now is, you know, we're overlooking that family caregivers need support in the workplace. And so some of the things that we would like to do as a result of what we learned in this study is to make sure, first of all, that everybody, every employer, every person who is a caregiver knows that there are community resources available through your Aging and Disability Resource Center should be the first step for anyone to find out what's available in your community. Every community has one. And there we offer a whole range of different programs that are either no cost, low cost, or available through, you know, state and federal funding or a community organization that might be able to give them support.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Joy is with us in West Bend. Joy, hi.
Hi. I'm a woman in my early 70s. We have a daughter with Down syndrome. I was a professional, but kind of had to give up my profession to be able to stay at home and take care of our daughter and make sure that her behavior problems at school were handled well. And I've just noticed lately that my husband and I are kind of isolated. We don't fit into the group of people our age who have grandchildren are playing with them, people who are going on trips, and people who are pursuing their own interests. We still have lots of responsibility to take care of a person who is dependent. So just wondering, we do have services, you know, we're hooked up with the IRIS program, so we have long-term care services for our daughter, but I'm still occupied every day in getting our daughter up and moving, you know, getting her mental health services, getting her to an activity, or getting her able to want to be in an activity somewhere else. So,
Joy, thanks for sharing your story with us. Harriet, do you have advice on the isolation, it sounds like Joy and her husband are feeling?
Yes, it's very easily to become isolated for just the reasons that the caller was mentioning. And caregivers as a group are pretty bad at finding time for themselves. So we really have to encourage one another to do so and to get out, but that requires caregivers, and that oftentimes is the barrier to making that happen. Another resource that could be helpful is there's an organization called Respite Care Association of Wisconsin, and they're available to help find respite care providers. And respite is that break that adults who are caring for their disabled children or a spouse or a parent, it's that break that they need in order to avoid isolation. Because once you go down that path, it's difficult, and it doesn't lead to good things. You want to be able to maintain friends and be active in the community. So finding those caregivers is a very important step. And also just finding time and not feeling guilty for taking care of yourself, whether that is a day away, just enjoying yourself, or even reminding yourself you need to make appointments with the doctor for yourself, and not just have that as a priority for your loved one with a disability or long-term illness. So it gets complex, but it really underscores the need for respite. And sometimes you just need to ask somebody to make a few phone calls for you. That sometimes I've commented that sometimes a telephone is a pretty heavy object because you get busy with so many things and you just can't make that phone call. But maybe you can ask someone else to help you with just making a phone call. Maybe it's a neighbor or a friend or someone from church or another social circle that you can connect with.
Joy, thanks a lot for sharing your experience. Good luck to you. We're talking to Lynn Gall and Harriet Redmond from the Wisconsin Family and Caregiver Support Alliance, talking about family caregivers in the workforce. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you are juggling these dual responsibilities, you're at the workplace full or part-time and providing care for a family member, what are the biggest challenges? What help have you found? What resources might you want to recommend to other people? And if you're an employer, we'd love to hear from you as well. Do you have employees who have need of some kind of flexibility to do this kind of caregiving? Are you able to provide that for them? If so, how? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Lynn Gall and Harriet Redmond from the Wisconsin Family and Caregiver Support Alliance, looking at results of a survey they did in partnership with UW Extension, looking at family caregivers, some of the challenges they face dealing with their work lives and their home lives, and how employers can offer their employees more support, maybe more flexibility. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your story, your experience, or your question for our guests. That's 800-642-1234. Lynn, you mentioned wanting to get resource information out to employers. Based on what you heard in the survey, are there things employers can do to support their employees who are doing this dual role? They're working, they're providing this family care.
Yes, there definitely are. And, you know, when we're doing this, we understand that not all workplaces are able to make changes for employees as easily as others, depending on the type of business. Flexible scheduling or, working remotely may not be an option, or at least not a long-term option. However, there's probably something that every employer can do. Whether they're a large employer or a small employer, or even if a person is self-employed. So one of the things we want employers to think of is to think of these community organizations like Aging and Disability Resource Centers, Harriet's Organization of Wisconsin's, the Respite Care Association of Wisconsin. We are your partners, and to look at us as another resource in addition to the benefits they may already be providing, and to work with us and to make your employees aware that we exist, you know, and making your employees feel comfortable in talking about their caregiving role is really the first thing supervisors and employers can do, is because a lot of people don't even want to tell their employer that this is their home life situation or these are the struggles they're having because they're afraid that that's going to somehow negatively impact them. So being honest about that and making people feel comfortable talking about that, it really is the first step. And the survey we did was actually this UW Extension survey. It is available free to any employer who wants to use it to survey their own workforce and find out how many working caregivers do you have in your company? You may think you know, but they may not be telling you. So it's an anonymous survey that's free and available to any employer who wants to start there. And once you know how what is in your company, then you can then go from there, just deciding what you can and may or may not be able to offer.
And Harriet, before we go back to our callers, the point made in the report is this isn't just something employers might do out of the goodness of their hearts. If they're having trouble hiring and retaining workers, this could be a worker retention strategy, right?
Definitely. That wasn't the main focus of our study, but we wanted to study things that we hadn't learned before. And we had learned from other studies that employers can identify savings when they have addressed the needs of their employees who are caregivers. And in a previous survey, 44% of employees in a business, 44% of them were caregivers. So it isn't one or two people. It's usually could be half of your workforce have caregiving responsibilities. And when they realize that and they can offer educational programs, or they can offer at least point them to the resources, or review their flex time or their remote working arrangements, when they can review those and tailor them for caregivers, they'll keep their caregivers, or they'll keep their employees, mm-hmm. Which is a big savings. And they can also attract other good, excellent workers who also have to balance caregiving.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Mary is with us in DeForest. Hi, Mary.
Hello.
Hi. What did you want to bring up, Mary?
So my husband and I are sole caretakers of my in-laws. They're in their 80s and with multiple health issues. So we've been providing meals and cleaning and just kind of checking up on them every day, taking them to appointments and all that. Is there any kind of state-funded program that helps family home caretakers, I guess?
Mary, thanks for that call. Lynn, is there help out there for people in Mary's situation?
There definitely is. The programs that I manage, the National Family Caregiver Support Program, and there's also a Wisconsin Alzheimer's Family Caregiver Support Program. They're both designed to do exactly what you're talking about. They can help provide people to come in and do the very things you're talking about, so you can get some respite and a break from having to caregive all the time. So they will come in and do in-home chores. They can come in and help with bathing. They provide the funds to do that. We're with the shortage of workers and out in the community, we have to have agencies that can come in and do that. But we do, it's available for anyone who's caring for someone age 60 or older. So then it sounds like the folks at your in-laws, I believe you said it was, that they are over age 60. So you would definitely qualify for that program. And anybody else out there who, if you're caring for someone who's got a diagnosis of dementia or Alzheimer's disease, you also would qualify.
Thanks for that call, Mary. Hope that helps. Jane joins us now in Manitowoc. Jane, hi.
Hello. I am a retired County Veteran Service Officer. So if your caregivers are taking care of a veteran, especially if they served during wartime or if they had exposure to chemicals and stuff in service, they may qualify for a caregiver stipend for the caregiver. And then they also, the veteran may qualify and the widow may qualify for compensation or pension from the VA.
Jane, thanks a lot for that suggestion. Appreciate that. Lynn, is there a first step that people should take? And we've heard a bunch of different opportunities and resources out there. What if somebody's in a situation of caring for, say, an older family member, what should their first call be to find out what's in their area, what's available to them?
Right. Their first call should really be to their local Aging and Disability Resource Center. The ADRC has got trained staff. They do options counseling with anyone who wants it, which is really to sit down and talk through your options. It's unbiased. It's just to let you know the different options that are available and then to kind of help you connect to those resources once you make a decision. So that would be the very first place to go, because I know a lot of people aren't even really aware of everything that's out there until you need it and you start looking. You may find things that exist right in your own community that you had no idea were there.
Jane, thanks again for that call. Harriet, as someone who not only works on these issues, but as you mentioned, this is a part of your life too, can you leave us with some words of encouragement to people to seek out resources that are out there and get some help if it's available?
I surely can. I would just encourage anyone to reach out and speak up. Let people know what your needs are. You probably have people who have said, hey, anytime you need help, let me know. Let them know. And it's not, don't feel guilty about that. Speak up and let people know what you need.
And Lynn, leave us with a thought for maybe, again, that employer to help that person in need.
Sure. I really encourage employers to think about the benefits to yourself as well as to your workers in supporting them. And if you've been a caregiver yourself, the employers that we have seen, some employers who've been doing some really great supportive work, and it's those employers really who have been in those shoes. They've been in caregivers themselves. And once you've been there, I think you understand how important it is and how appreciative your employees will be that you understand, and their loyalty will increase. You'll see their work improve. And I think it will, in the end, it'll pay off for you. So please consider making some, doing some work in this area.
Lynn, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Harriet, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I've been talking to Harriet Redmond, Executive Director of WisconSIBS, and Lynn Gall, Family Caregiver Support Programs Manager for the Wisconsin Department of Health Services Bureau of Aging and Disability Resources, looking at the results of a new survey looking at family caregivers in Wisconsin and how they fit into the workplace.